Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Carolina Connections, the radio show where business leaders connect.
Hello, this is your host, Ann Revelle-Petcher on Carolina Connections. I'm here in the studio today with my co-host, Cal Hackman. Hello, Cal.
Good morning, Ann. Good morning.
Good morning. And Reed Powell, our producer. Hey, Reed.
Hey, Ann. How are you?
I'm great. I love sharing a mic with Reed Powell. It's great fun. I'm going to get right to this show because we're talking about growth in North Carolina today. We're talking about business growth, and we're talking about how different companies help us as a state see that business growth, how it all comes together. And we have representation from a pretty broad array of kinds of companies that are either experiencing great growth or really helping to facilitate that growth in a number of different ways. I'm going to start by introducing Alan King, who's the President and Chief Operating Officer of Workplace Options. Welcome to the studio, Alan.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you here. And then Paula Henderson, who's the Vice President of the SAS State and Local Government Practice with, of course, SAS. Hello, Paula.
Hello.
Chris Stacker is here today, back in the studio again from Silicon Valley Bank. He's the Managing Director here of the Carolina region. Welcome back, Chris.
Good morning. Great to be back.
I'm glad you're here. And first time in the studio is Martin Barbie, who's with Encino. He's the Senior Vice President of Strategic Accounts there.
Hello.
Hello and welcome.
Thank you.
We're going to start out the show today by actually talking with Encino. We're talking with Encino because they are a winner of the North Carolina Technology Association's 10 Startups to Watch this year, and that award will be given out in November. Congratulations on that.
Well, thank you very much.
We're pretty impressed with that, and we're really glad to have a young and growing company kick off this discussion.
So, Martin, why don't you just start by telling us how Encino got started?
Encino was a, it actually got started within a bank, Live Oak Bank in Wilmington. They were trying to solve for some lending problems that they had from a nationwide lending perspective, and tried a lot of different solutions, ended up building our solution on the Salesforce.com platform. So they presented at a conference and then were overrun by banks that wanted to utilize the software. And there was some background with the principles of Live Oak that kind of spurred that on. And it's that, you know, 2012 is when we spun out of Live Oak, and it's, you know, we've not really looked back since.
Well, that's great. That's great. So you're primarily focused on the banking industry?
We are. We're solely focused on community and regional banks.
And can you tell us sort of in street language what your software does?
You know, one of the interesting things about Encino is it's hard to put us in a certain bucket, especially talking with different banks and the solutions that we would maybe take out with ours. But it's an aggregation of all your information. It's CRM that meets business intelligence and document management. So it allows a bank to operate more efficiently. Gives them a lot more visibility and transparency into their operation. So it's loan origination, it's portfolio management, and it's customer relationship management as well.
Wow, that's all wrapped up in one. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a whole operating system.
It is, and we refer to it as the bank operating system, and it resides in the cloud. So it's a different approach than most community banks have taken up to this point.
So Encino is a relatively new company, as you said, spun out in 2012. What attracted you to join the company, and what's the culture like there, and what is really a startup company for all intents and purposes?
Yeah, my background originally started in software and technology sales, and then I transitioned into banking. And so when Encino came about, it was a perfect marriage of past experience. So the folks that started Live Oak also started Encino, and it's a great group of folks. They, you know, hyper focused on their employees and their customers. So the culture is, you know, really take care of the employees, who then will take care of the customers, who then take care of the shareholders. So it's a neat, energetic, you know, environment to work in.
That's a great intro for one of our guests that we're going to interview later on. This is Alan's business, so
good.
We'll see how you do with that that description when we get to Alan. So you want to talk a little bit about Encino's growth and what's happened over the last couple of years?
Absolutely. I started shortly after we began. I was, I think, employee number 7, and now we're up to a little over 100 employees with growth.
And climbing.
And climbing. We've gone from... no accounts, no customers to, I think we have 69 today, and our goal is to end of the year with roughly 80. So it's a tremendous amount of growth. I used to know everybody there. And now I don't recognize a lot of people. We have most of our employees in Wilmington itself with some remote Salesforce. I mean, Salesforce is in the field.
Right. So where are all these customers coming from, and how do you get them?
You know, it's interesting. We, we've got a business development group that does outbound calls. I had to pull together some information for another client, and we actually have, you know, the majority of our clients are in Texas, North Carolina, and Georgia. We have 9 in each of those states. However, if you look at it, we pretty much cover in the entire country. So we've got sales reps throughout the country, and we've got a pretty good diverse geographic mix of customers.
I want to go back for a second and talk to you just a little bit more about that culture, because you guys, your employee growth is really pretty astounding. Mm-hmm. I think that I've had some conversations with people who used to work for me and now work for you, who talk about this really cool culture that you build that's very employee-centric, wherein they actually work on each other's careers. Mm-hmm. That everybody helps each other grow their careers, and they give each other the high fives instead of somebody, you know, instead of the CEO, instead of Pierre walking up at the end of the year and saying, "You're the employee of the year." The employees actually take care of that. Talk about that sense, what that's like.
It's, you know, we've got, we leverage UNCW and hire a lot of graduates from there, but we've also, you know, attracted some industry veterans throughout the country, and it's more of a everybody wants everybody else to succeed, and we're in a small organization in the grand scheme of things. However, with that sort of growth, I think you've got to have that employee-centric focus. One of the neat things they do for us is none of our employees have to pay for health care. That's completely 100% covered by the company,
Nice. And
it makes people want to work there. We have a fairly relaxed environment within the office, however, that can't be confused with hard work. And I think that once everybody understands that, and it's, you know, they work together, because, you know, our goal is to you know, change the way banks do business, and it's through our software. So whether you're in development or in sales or in, you know, professional services,
yeah,
you know, we're all working together.
You guys have had some pretty amazing results with helping banks close a lot more loans, haven't you? Can you talk about that a little bit?
We have. We've, you know, over the 2.5 years, our longer standing customers, we've got some good data points on that of shortening that cycle of closing a loan. We address the commercial banking space, and that's been one that has not really been a beneficiary of efficiency.
Uh-huh.
So now that we've shown them what their process looks like, then they can start to manage those points, those handoffs that take more time.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Tell us about the kinds of companies you partner with to make all this come together.
We primarily right now have partnered with system integrators, PwC being one of them.
Uh-huh.
They are taking us up market somewhat. We've got some more regional based, you know, West Monroe. So they are the implementation partners. And then we've also gone out in the market on our platform, so to speak. You know, Precision Lender is one that we work with closely to really just round out the solution. So the things that we don't need to develop, we just get a best of breed in the market.
Yeah.
So
so tell us a little bit about the future for Encino.
You know, we managing growth is as challenging as managing, you know, slow sales volume, I think. It's just a different type of challenge. We do plan on going up market somewhat in a strategic manner with those SIs that I'd mentioned. But our goal is really to change the way banks operate. There's a lot of legacy systems out there that we can complement. So, you know, the goal is to continue to grow. Our investment dollars going forward are going to be very heavily weighted on development, so we can continue to innovate on the product.
That's
so
cool.
Yep.
Can you do all that from within Wilmington?
I think we can.
We don't want you going anywhere. Yeah,
we don't have any intentions of moving. Now, what we may have is maybe a West Coast office.
Mm-hmm, sure.
We do have a group in Austin, Texas that runs our data integrations teams, but the operation, the management will remain in Wilmington.
That's great. So if there are banks out there listening that want to learn a little bit more about how to work with you, how do they do that? How do they get in touch with you?
They can call me or email me at martin.barbie@encino.com or 910-264-1208. And certainly love the opportunity to speak with them.
That's great. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
We're going to come back and chat with you in just a few minutes. But now I get to actually talk to a banker. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
It's always so great to have you on the show. You know, what Silicon Valley Bank does for this community can't be understated. So I really want to thank you and the bank and what you do for startups especially and for the growing companies. Why don't you tell those who are listening that aren't familiar with Silicon Valley Bank a little bit about why I think it's great to have you on the show.
Well, the bank's mission is pretty simple. It's to increase innovative companies' probability of success worldwide. My goal is here in the Carolinas, but the bank is a worldwide bank, and we have offices around the country as well as in China, the UK, India, and Tel Aviv as well.
So you work primarily with new companies? When you say innovative.
So tech and life science,
okay.
Startup to public to large private.
Okay.
So it really the size and the stage varies pretty dramatically.
How does a bank work with a startup? They tend to not be terribly well funded initially, usually.
That's true. So every company, whether it's a tech company or a manufacturing company, what have you, they need a bank. And we can provide traditional day-to-day deposit operations, treasury management needs, credit cards, things of that nature. So we can get started, you know, with a company at a very, very early stage.
Yeah.
Even if they only have $5,000 to put into a checking account, they still need to put it somewhere.
Right. And you have... a huge impact on their growth. You don't just like take their money and just let it sit there.
No.
So talk to us about the kinds of things you do as a bank to help these companies grow.
So, you know, one thing that it's not from interest rates. The rates are horrible. So it's not.
Don't we all know?
That's not it. So really connections is one of the things that we do. We're big at connecting our clients with others that can be helpful to them.
Mm-hmm.
And also we provide debt at earlier stages than most banks do.
Ah.
And so that's another way we're sort of different from other commercial banks.
So you're primarily working with innovative companies, but tell us a little bit about the bank. You mentioned some international operations. How large of a bank is Silicon Valley Bank, and how did you get to be as big as you are?
Yeah, so we actually had our earnings release end of last week, and we had a nice Q3. Our assets were actually we're at $36 billion now, which is roughly the 50th largest bank in the country.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we're publicly traded. Stock's done very well. We have $12 billion in loans, which is tremendous growth in a time when most banks are not growing at that rate. I mean, I remember when I started 5 years ago, and I believe we were... $7 billion in loans. So we've done very, very well. We have $61 billion in client funds. About half of those are on the bank's balance sheet and half are off. So we have an asset management team that that handles those off-balance sheet funds for our clients. And a lot of those clients that go public, they raise $200 million, $300 million, what have you. A lot of those funds go off-balance sheet and they keep their operating funds on on the bank's balance
sheet. Sure. Well, let's take this down a notch and talk a little bit about what's going on with Silicon Valley Bank here in the Carolinas and what you're seeing in the innovative sector here.
Yeah, so we've had a really good year here, and a lot of that's attributable to our client base. They've grown. They brought on new clients, which has enabled us to do more for them, whether it's on the treasury management side or the loan side. Like I said, we're lending money to companies that are sometimes pre-revenue, oftentimes pre-profit, but we do try to leverage whether it's cash flows, revenue, recurring revenue, or any other type of quick asset to help them continue to grow. But we're seeing growth in all stages, all sectors, life science. When I say life science, it's drug development, that's med device, healthcare IT. And then on the software side, we're seeing great growth as well. We actually have some hardware companies that are actually doing quite well.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
So we're seeing some diversity here in the triangle.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty diverse. And we're seeing growth not only here, but, you know, Wilmington's doing great. Charleston, South Carolina is doing very well. I know this is a North Carolina show. In Greenville, South Carolina, there's good things happening there as well. And Charlotte. So
yeah. We can talk about South Carolina. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. It's all regional.
Good, good.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you go about getting new clients, and how have you been, what's been most successful in terms of growing the bank?
It's really just being out there in the market and getting to know these companies in the early stage. You know, like I said, it's just being out there. It really is. It's very simple. It's having repeat clients as well. A lot of times we have CFOs and CEOs that have successful exits.
Right.
They call us. They say, look, we're getting involved in a new venture.
Sure.
You know.
Sure, they had a great experience.
Yeah, we had a great experience. You treated us well. You made great connections for us. Right. And when things weren't always going well, you were helpful to us, which is probably the most important time as a bank to be helpful to your clients.
No, a lot of these innovative companies are venture-backed, but do you also work with companies that are not venture-backed?
We sure do, yeah. So the bank historically, when the bank was founded in 83, we were founded under the premise that we're working with venture-backed companies. Mm-hmm. At that time, it was on the West Coast. As we've grown, we've had to continue to grow. We have to continue to create value for our shareholders. So we've had to work with non-sponsored companies. And so really just innovation is really our goal, is to work with innovative companies. So we have, the last 5 years, probably we've diversified quite a bit from just working with VC-backed companies. So that's a tremendous part of our growth, actually, now.
That's great. So tell us about the organizations that in North Carolina have been specifically helpful for you in terms of making those connections.
Yeah, so whether it's investors, there are investors around the state that have been extremely helpful. CED is a tremendous asset.
Yeah.
We work very closely with them.
Good.
And CETA as well. So, you know, there are others. There's law firms, sure. There's attorneys, and, you know, other groups like that. But yeah, it's really just having to stay out there and be out there and have your name out there. And, you know, there's certainly competitors in the market.
Yeah.
And there are more banks that are trying to work with these innovative companies because mm-hmm. it is a hot sector.
You bet.
So we're seeing pressure from those, you know, more traditional banks. Their lending model's still a bit different from ours, but they are, they're certainly, you know, making a push to work with innovative companies as well.
Cool.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the culture at Silicon Valley Bank. Mm. What's it like to be there? You've been there for a while.
Yeah. So it sounds a lot like Encino's. It's, you know, we get along extremely well. Most bankers don't stay at a bank for a long time. That's just the nature of the industry. And if you look at, you know, SVBers around the country and the world, they've been at the bank for many, many years, oftentimes their whole careers. So my boss actually started at the bank in the late 90s, I believe, and she's never left. She's been there since day one. And that's kind of rare for banks. So, you know, we're very good at collaborating as a whether it's East Coast, West Coast, Central, the UK, China, and we just get along really well. We have, you know, events in California or Boston, and everybody just gets along really well. We have a lot of fun. And then our office here is kind of unique. We're only a 4-person office. But we still manage to have a really good time, and we have visitors from our Boston office. So it's a great culture.
Cool.
Despite the fact that folks stay with the bank a long time, I know from previous experience that the bank gives you guys a lot of opportunity to move around, right?
They sure do. They make that very clear from day one when you're hired. If there's an opportunity, they're more than willing to move you, and they actually like that quite a bit. They like to get new blood in different places and different roles, and it's a great place for opportunity for growth, and just like I said, it's a very well run bank, and the management team's fantastic. So
if somebody's out there thinking, it sounds like a bank I'd want to work with, how would they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so my email is CSTOECKER@svb.com. My number is 919-442-2303, or you can go to our website, and the North Carolina office has a specific email address that you can actually email as well. So you can just go to the website.
That's
svb.com.
Great. Super. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
We're going to scoot over and talk to a much bigger company now. Paula Henderson with SAS. She's the vice president of SAS State and Local Government Practice. Tell me about that practice, would you, Paula?
Oh, sure. SAS has our software is used in every state and local government in the United States. My team, we have over 100 people, about 30 folks here in Cary, and the rest of my team is located in the state capitals across the United States. We also launched a analytics lab for state and local government back in 2011, and the lab has approximately 400 people that are data experts, PhDs, that are working with state and local governments all across the U.S.
So what are some of the challenges that state and local governments have that your analytics can help them with?
Well, we have right now the area that we are that's growing the most for SAS with as far as helping state and local governments is in the area of fraud, waste, and abuse. I'm sure you have read about the significant problems the governments face with trying to go after fraud, waste, and abuse. And there's millions to billions of dollars that are basically being spent with people illegally all across the country. And we have solutions that are helping state governments in the areas of unemployment, fraud, waste, and abuse, Medicaid, fraud, waste, and abuse, tax, and social programs.
Sounds like a big market. So you mentioned that you're working in every state in the country. Is that right?
We are. We have our software is used in every state, and then we have over 10 states where we are helping with decreasing fraud.
And I'm always curious. How do you get into the state and local governments? What's your marketing approach like? It's a little different, isn't it, than the traditional commercial sales process?
Yes. Well, there is typically some type of competitive bid, and so we participate in different competitive procurements, and work hard to win contracts that where we are able to integrate all kinds of data for agencies, and then apply our analytics to help them with saving millions of dollars by reducing fraud, waste, and abuse.
So your group has been growing pretty rapidly. Can you just tell us a little bit about what that growth has been like and what it means to the triangle here?
Sure. We have we are one of 8 business units at SAS and have had double-digit growth since we were formed back in 2008. And we have grown our customer base significantly. We have, what we're most proud of is the type of work that we're doing. So where we are helping, as I mentioned before, with going after fraud, we are also working on projects, some local projects here in North Carolina. One is the state's criminal justice system. So we are used by over 28,000 law enforcement officials in North Carolina to provide them an entire history of an offender. And so if a police officer pulls someone, they have all the information about the person that they have pulled, including data that in the past they've had to have gone to multiple systems. And so it's very good for officer safety. It's also good as far as helping prevent tragedies. The system was built after some of the tragedies, such as the Eve Carson murder, the student body president of UNC that occurred in 2008. Mm-hmm. Offenders that killed Eve Carson had violated parole and were repeat offenders. However, the courts did not have the information at their fingertips to know that they had violated parole. And so going forward now, the system for SAS integrates all of that criminal justice data. And we're very proud to be a part of a solution that keeps our citizens safe.
It sounds like the folks that work in your group really need to have a passion for what they're doing. It sounds like you have a passion for what you're doing in terms of making the world a safer place or helping to get fraud, waste, and abuse out of public spending and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the culture at SAS, which is, something that those of us who are here in the Triangle, we hear a lot about, but just give us a glimpse inside campus and what's it like there.
Absolutely. There is a tremendous amount of commitment by the employees at SAS and myself included, because I have, as I mentioned, I have a large family, and what benefited from the fact that I could take my children with me to work with the daycare facility that SAS offers. And so it's a very good work balance for employees to take care of their family at the same time. There's a lot of commitment and passion to take good care of our customers, and a lot of loyalty to the management team at SAS and to our founder, because we're all very grateful for the wonderful benefits that he provides to all of us, in addition to the work that we do.
Paula, I was having a conversation with the folks over in Senator High's office, State Senator High's office recently. He is winning an award this year from North Carolina Technology Association for public figure and the, what he's done to help with technology throughout the state. And he had brought up the Government Data Analytics Center. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. We've been very impressed with the leadership from the General Assembly in North Carolina. And Senator High's has worked very hard on launching this center with the support of the state CIO, Chris Estes. Mm-hmm. And it is a statewide center that brings, basically helps with breaking down the different silos within government. So there's over 900 different systems within the state of North Carolina. And at the time prior to this center, those systems did not talk to each other.
So these are 900 data systems?
Well, there's over 900 technology systems.
Wow.
That are within the executive branch of North Carolina. So prior to the center, the systems were not talking, were not integrated. And what that would result in is a challenge as far as being able to really understand the types of services that were being provided, and how could you provide a good quality of service to citizens at the most cost-effective price, and be as efficient as possible. Mm-hmm. With Senator Heiss's leadership, in addition to other legislators and Chris Estes, this center is starting to break down those silos and really work on very important projects where you're able to go after fraud, you're able to understand the types of health care that the state is providing to their state employees.
And I understand this is actually impacting the way budgeting is being considered. Is that true?
That is correct.
That sounds really interesting that we could take a whole new approach to government budgeting. What do you think? I'm behind that one. Thanks so much for your time, Paula. So tell us how people can get in touch with you if they want to learn a little bit more about what you're doing.
Sure. My email at SAS is paula.henderson@sas.com, and my phone number is 919-531-0707. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're going to come back and chat with you just in a minute. But first, we're going to talk to Alan King over at Workplace Options.
So, Alan, we appreciate you being patient and waiting while we interviewed our other guest here. As I like to say, we save the best to last. So, you come to us with over 20 years of experience in employee assistance and work-life balance. Tell us a little bit about what that whole field is like and how that all fits into what you do at Workplace Options.
Sure. Well, Workplace Options is in an area of employee well-being. So we work with companies around the world to provide support to employees, much in the way that a company would purchase medical insurance to help employees on the physical health side. We help them deal with emotional issues, with practical issues that impact on their ability to focus and remain productive workforce, so helping them find childcare and support with elder care, as well as just helping them when life hits them in a way that causes them to struggle.
And how big of a business is this?
A lot bigger than you think.
That's why I asked the question.
And growing, right?
And growing. In the U.S., about 85% of all companies of any size have some access to employee assistance programs. And so that's a fairly huge market in terms of the U.S. alone. But around the world, that penetration of assistance programs is much, much lower, but growing. And that's the potential is tremendous there.
Well, let's talk a little bit about an employee's well-being's mm-hmm. impact mm-hmm. on the bottom line, because after all, you know, most organizations are in business because of the bottom line, at least to some extent.
Sure. I mean, clearly, when you're at work, your employer is hoping that you're focused at work and that you're being productive and that there are not other things that are occupying your time while you're there. And sometimes it can be occupying your physical time when it's there. Other times it can be occupying your mental time. And so really being able to assist employees with the things that cause the disconnect in their balance that wouldn't be thought of as immediate workplace, like why child care, why elder care, why, you know, if someone's marriage is breaking down, do I need to worry about that in the workforce? And it's simply because lives don't end, personal lives don't end at the doorstep of the office. And that's the primary reason that programs like ours exist.
So I take it that this is a growing business. You mentioned that Workplace Options is growing, and I know you've got some new offices around the world. You want to talk a little bit about
sure.
that?
Sure, happy to. Yeah, we are growing. The company has actually been around since 1982, but it started out largely as a consultancy, working with companies like SAS to help deal with childcare issues in the workplace. I joined the company in 2002 and was the 9th employee. We are just around 700, 500 in the triangle.
Wow.
We will be by the end of this year almost 750, and by next year somewhere over 800. A lot of the growth domestically has been through partnerships like we have with the Mayo Clinic, which has extended a lot of the work that WPO does in the U.S., as well as outside the U.S., with many American and British companies extending EAP benefits that are traditional to their employees in those countries outside. So we have offices in London, in Dublin, in Toronto, just opened an office in Bangalore, India. We have offices in Singapore, Tokyo, and I'm sure I'm forgetting one, some Panama.
Panama.
There you go.
There you go. well, what areas are you seeing the most growth and the most interest in? Is it on the physical side, the emotional side, the practical support side? Where is it?
It's actually on the nexus of all of those things. That typically employers have been dealing with providers that may assist with wellness coaching and wellness initiatives, fitness centers. They have traditional EAP programs. What they're looking for are those things to come together. And what they're recognizing is what my company has recognized for a very long time, that people's issues don't follow into nice, neat categories of problems. That if you're calling and you're looking for childcare, you may be looking for childcare because your marriage is ending. And there may be financial implications of that. There may be legal implications of that. And so being able to support that person in a holistic way that brings to bear in one phone call all of the different resources that they need to be able to do their jobs and to settle their problems is key.
And how have you been growing the company? How do you get new clients?
Well, we have a very unique business model. We have a core growth team that actually goes out and sells businesses on our services. But primarily, our clients are folks that we become the back room of a service, so they end up reselling us. So the nice thing about it is at WPO, we have about 30, 35 people who are actively involved in sales around the world, but we actually have a much wider sales force of close to 4,000 individuals from the different companies that we work with who are actually the ones on the ground selling our services.
That's a great model. It's you mentioned earlier when I asked you the question, you know, so how big of a business is this? You said, you know, much bigger than you might think. I'm just curious, what role does being recognized as a leader in the business, as a thought leader, what role does that play in helping you grow the business?
Well, I think it's important because people don't want to do business with the company that's thought to be antiquated. They want to do business with the company that is moving forward. The other reason that that's important is that all the companies we work with are moving forward as well. So making certain that we're tying what we do to where they want to go is critical, and that's what it's all about, thinking outside of the box.
Yeah. And what's next?
Hopefully more growth.
Well, I should have been more specific. What's next in the employee well-being industry? What do you think companies will be focused on in 5 years that they're not focused on today?
I think it's more the integration of technology into traditional services, and the fact that we're really looking to be wherever someone is, in whatever manner they want to access or acquire to us. So lots of investment in growing technologies that allow for video contacts and video interaction as opposed to just phone.
Yeah, that's really important, especially with all the things going on with Ebola and everything. Everybody wants to be able to access via video. So I'm curious if you could identify who your ideal customer would be.
Well, we actually have clients that are as large as 2 employees to companies that we cover over 800,000 employees.
So really, just about everybody could utilize your services.
Everybody.
And how do they actually purchase those services?
Oftentimes, they purchase them through other employee assistance programs, some very large names. They may purchase them through their health insurance.
Is it like an insurance program? How does it work?
It is. It is. Companies purchase policies, for lack of a better term, the same way they would purchase a policy for health insurance.
Okay.
And many times, if a company is working with a particular health insurer, that health insurer offers an employee assistance program as an offering that can be added into the benefit.
Okay, cool. Great. I'm going to ask everybody in the room here a question about how their businesses impact growth. So I'm going to ask you to do that too. But before I do that, can you tell people how to contact you?
Sure. My email address is Alan, and that's A-L-A-N-K, at workplaceoptions.com. You can also go to the Workplace Options website, which is workplaceoptions.com as well. And there's lots of information and also ways of accessing other folks that are on our team.
Excellent. Great. So, Martin, tell me about what is it that Encino is doing right now that's going to positively impact business for North Carolina and growth for business in North Carolina over the next couple of years?
Well, it's... I'll start with Wilmington, and one of the things that we've done is we've hired a lot of UNCW grads, which tells me that if they have that option to stay in Wilmington with something other than what's traditionally been in a coastal market, that they're going to plant roots and grow that region. We have a customer user group every year as well, so we bring in our customers. For last 2 years we've had it, and we'll continue it. So we bring in, and we're bringing exposure to Wilmington from all over the country when we bring in these clients as well. But it's nice to have that base of employees, and we know that it's going to grow if our business continues to do well.
Yeah, that's great. So you're really helping to sort of focus on Wilmington for now.
For now.
Yeah, that's great. What about you, Chris? What's going on at Silicon Valley Bank? What kind of initiatives do you have that are impacting growth throughout our state?
So it's pretty simple. It's really just helping our clients grow, whether it's providing debt or, again, just managing their day-to-day banking needs. So that's a pretty vanilla answer, but it's really to helping our clients be successful. Then they can go on and grow their top line and hire more people, and it has a domino effect.
I don't think it's vanilla if I'm your client.
Appreciate that.
So, Paula, interestingly enough, what we don't necessarily want to see is growth in government, necessarily, but we do want to see growth, right? So how is it that what you're doing within the government group there is going to impact growth, business growth in the region?
Sure. Well, we are, SAS works closely with in universities such as NC State. So there's an institute for a master's program in analytics.
Oh, good.
We recruit and hire a lot of graduates from that program that then are working on different projects. And we continue to grow and hire people to help the state of North Carolina with all the different areas within the GDAC program that you referenced earlier.
Sure.
And we'll continue to do that in the next coming years.
That's great. And Alan, what about you? What's going on over at Workplace Options that facilitates North Carolina's growth?
Well, our headquarters and all of our main U.S. service centers are in Raleigh, so that's really the focus of our business is here. And so if we continue to come out with innovative products and services and make that happen, that the bulk of the actual growth will happen in North Carolina.
Well, this has been a great show. You've all got really interesting, sort of unique businesses. Hopefully there's some crossovers here. I think we heard a lot about culture, and you know, I think we teed up, Al, in your section pretty well with everybody talking about how important culture was at their particular industries, and you certainly make a big contribution to that, as you mentioned, trying to keep people focused and help them deal not only with the pressures of their job, but the pressures of their life that impact them at work. This has been a great show. We really appreciate you all coming. And I'm going to wrap it up. We've been broadcasting live from our studios here at the Wireless Research Center of North Carolina in Wake Forest. We appreciate them providing the space for our studio. We'd also like to thank our other power partners, the North Carolina Technology Association and EntreDOT, who are also very much involved in promoting and helping companies grow here in the Metro Raleigh area. So we look forward to bringing you another exciting and informative show next week on Metro Raleigh Business Radio's Carolina Connections. And on behalf of my co-host, Ann Marielle Pencher, our guest, and our producer, Reed Powell, it's Cal Hackeman, and we're signing off for today. Thank you.